The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Just as you're turning up there, let me remind you again, and if you have your offering boxes filled up, then I would encourage you to bring them in now. It was the end of May. We wanted to collect all these, so bring them in and put them at the back table, and then they'll be put into the office, and we'll make sure that they're tabulated and put to your particular credit. So we're continuing in our study now in the book of Hebrews, and we're in chapter 13 again. We're going to read from verse 8 of chapter 13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Let's bow before the Lord now in prayer. Father, we have the word open now, and we have been privileged, Lord, to enter into worship this morning. We know, Lord, that this is a mighty privilege and a grace from thyself. Please, Lord, take now away every distraction from our minds. We are weak in self. And Lord, we come this morning now to depend upon the Spirit of God to hold us up, to help us. I pray, Lord, today that the Spirit of the Lord would give me the words to speak clearly and plainly and with thy power, and that each one here gathered in this place would also know the help of the Holy Spirit to understand. We think too, Father, of any who are unsaved. Lord, bring them to the cross. Any who perhaps are away from thee, backslidden, cold in heart perhaps, O Lord, do a great work in every soul, we pray. So hear us now and bless us. In Jesus' worthy name we ask these things. Amen. So as we move on here, we're looking at verses 15 and 16 this morning. And they say this, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I want to think about this subject this morning, the sacrifices that please God. We are given them here in these verses, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of doing good. These are the things that bring honor to the living God. Last time we met and I was speaking to you on the subject of Hebrews, we remarked that the Christian has no permanent place in this world. There is no continuing city that you and I have to abide in here. We are like Abraham, sojourners in a place that God has called us to go and inhabit, but we don't presently have that place here. We are seeking for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's our destiny. And so here, while we are walking through this life, we perhaps are troubled because there are many issues that take us aside. Sometimes our perspective of this life is not exactly what it should be. And we can often let little matters affect us to a great degree. And little matters that come in, and if we really viewed them in the light of eternity, in the larger picture of things, they would not have such an impact negatively on our life. They really are not that important at all in the great scheme of things. This is important. Believer, let us not lose sight of that. The greater picture of God's work and His eternal purpose, He's doing that in us. Let us not set those things aside. Mr. Spurgeon said, "If everything here is going, let it go. But we will not cease to sing. If the end of all things is at hand, let them end. But our praises of the living God shall abide world without end." The Lord Jesus Christ, we know, suffered outside the camp and the gate. And He suffered in that place of cruelty, a place of death, a place of punishment. And as He suffered there, He died shedding His blood for you and me. He died so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He died so that we might be able to live in this world, though we are not of this world, so that we can honor His holy name. That's why God has done this today. He has brought us, oh dear friend here, it is by His death upon the cross that He has brought us into Himself. And we have life and we have forgiveness of sins. And it's not anything that you and I can do of ourselves. It is only in that Jesus Himself loved us with an everlasting love. And He loved us so much that He went to die on the cruel cross. We are guilty, but He is sinless. And because of His sinless life that He lived for us, we are able to have forgiveness of sin. And the writer of Hebrews is now bringing to conclusion all of the Old Testament pictures, all of them pointing toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And those pictures of the sacrifices of the animals, of the lambs and the goats that were offered. And He is saying to us here now, because Christ went outside the city of Jerusalem to be crucified, the picture is that we are to follow Him outside of that place of organized religion, if we like, of all that was set up that was in opposition to Him in His day. And we are to follow Him that we can associate ourselves with the Lord Jesus, that we can align ourselves with Him and be able to testify of His life and what He's done for us, so that we're able to stand for Him, and maybe, we have to suffer for Him. May the Lord Jesus help us in this time and help us to see more clearly exactly what He has called us to do. You know, in these verses that we're looking at this morning, it might appear on the surface an unusual reason for going to be where the Lord Jesus is, as He suffered great persecution and as He suffered the disdain of the world. But we are to go outside the place and the camp with Him in order that we can offer the sacrifice of praise. The apostle once more is borrowing from an illustration of the Old Testament sacrificial system. And he's saying now the Christian in this time is not going to offer animal sacrifices anymore. Those are past. Those are gone. But the sacrifices that you and I will come to offer to God, sacrifices of our praise, our prayer, our thanksgiving to Him. Yes, we do have an offering to make. But you see, these offerings that you and I as Christians make to the Lord, they are not offerings whereby we can save our souls. There is nothing that you and I can do in this life that will warrant us for heaven. There is nothing that you and I can do that will bring us into a place where we justify ourselves before a holy God. No, my friend, there's nothing that you and I can do to merit God's salvation. That is by His own free grace and what Jesus did on the cross for us. But we are told that once we are saved by His grace, that we are now to live a life of honor to His name. And the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 1 that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. To present our bodies as that which is given to the Lord's service. And a living sacrifice, well, what are we to do then? Well, the Apostle picks it up here as well. He said we are to offer sacrifices of praise unto His name. So I want to look today at this sacrifice that God is well pleased in, the sacrifices of praise that we can give to Him. And I want to look first of all and ask this question: what is the meaning of this sacrifice of praise? What really is the apostle getting at here? Because it seems an unusual phrase. Because immediately when we think about the term sacrifice, well, we're thinking about something that you and I come to give of an offering of ourselves. What does he really mean when he's talking about a sacrifice of praise? You see, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, there was something called the altar of incense. And the altar of incense stood just outside the veil where the Ark of the Covenant was. And upon that altar of incense, it was to be offered every day incense that sent up a fragrance. And it was a very sweet smell. And the priests in that time were to daily stir up the coals that were on that altar, and they were to place fresh incense on there. And as that rose up, that was a picture of the prayers of God's people ascending up to heaven. And as our prayers are ascending up to heaven, Psalm 142 and verse 2 says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." So we are told, we come to the Lord, we come to bring the sacrifice of our praise and our prayer to Him. And the parallel is very plain. For the incense on that altar is now applied to the Christian lifting up his prayers before the living God. This offering was to be done with intention. It was to be done not by accident. It wasn't to be done just in a casual manner. It was to be done by the person coming with full intention. Just as you and I as Christians today are to come with our prayers to the Lord, offering that sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to Him with all our hearts. It's not to be done in a careless way. It's not to be done in a way that is just, well, I'll take it or leave it. It's to be done with our heart and to be done with full intention before the Lord. We are given a great privilege of prayer. This is something that the Lord has granted to us by His grace. And the fact that we are invited to come before Him, the God of heaven, and make this offering, and to bring this sacrifice, it is a mighty thing. And so this offering to God, it must be done from an honest and an open heart. And you know, when we come to worship the Lord, we are to do so with an open and honest heart. If we just gather in this church building today and we open a hymn book or you watch the words behind me and you just stand up and you sing these words and you sit down again and they really have not gripped your heart, you have then not really entered into the very opportunity that God is giving to us of offering a sacrifice of praise to Him. And this is how the Lord has blessed us, and He's called us to do that. And so we ask the question today, how is it with us? How does this apply to us? Do we take seriously this Christian grace? For God is great, and He is greatly to be feared above all gods. And we are to come and worship Him. We are to worship Him with reverence and godly fear. It's not to be, my dear friends, with any kind of flippancy. It's not to be done out of a matter of form. Formality in the worship of God should not be a part of it. We are to come with all our hearts, not with a worldly thinking or any kind of a sensual worship. Those things are to be set aside. God's worship is not performance. The worship of the living God is not to be done so that attention is directed to the performer or to the individual in no way. We are to worship God solely as an offering and a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to His holy name. When we think about performing, those things are so opposite to anything that really honors God. But what about also the fact that we come into the Lord's house and our worship is not really what it should be? It's a bit tired. Or maybe it's hypocritical. Maybe there's something in our hearts and is not right before the Lord, and we come to stand up and we sing and we sit down and we stand up and pray or whatever. And yet in our hearts there's something that is not right before the Lord. Those things, it nullifies our worship. But the worship that we come to the Lord is one that we are to give to Him for His own honor and glory. We are talking about heart worship. That is not something mundane. It's not to be offered with a cold or a bitter or careless heart. We are to step out and lift our souls to Him. And if we cannot sing with a note, and we cannot praise God with others who have better voices, that's not important. The important thing is how we serve God and worship Him from our souls within, because God is greatly to be feared. He is a holy and a reverent God. And we are to come before the living God with all sincerity, with all honor, with all majesty, and not in a light way. For He is great. And He is not to be served with anything less than all we can give. Psalm 33 verse 1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is proper, it is fitting for the upright. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise from the end of the earth." So we want to think then about what it really means to offer the sacrifice of praise. But I want you to notice, secondly, this sacrifice of praise is to be given through the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Well, it says at the beginning of verse 15, "By Him, therefore, let us offer." By Him, therefore, let us offer. It is by the Lord Jesus Christ, or the word also means through Him. And we are to come through the Lord Jesus in all that we do as Christians. This is actually basic and fundamental to our understanding of the relationship that you and I have with Christ. Indeed, everything, every action, every thought of worship that we can offer to the Lord, it must be done through the Lord Jesus. Because you see, friend, if we try to come to the Lord on anything of our own merit, it will not be good enough. It will never be accepted to the Lord. We must come on the ground of the merit, of the righteousness, of the finished work of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross. He has done everything for us, my friend. And the Lord Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." We don't have any other argument. There's nothing else that we can come to the Lord and say, "Well, look, I have done so much this week. Let me tell you, Lord, I have done this, 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 and this, and that therefore should recommend me to you, shouldn't it? Shouldn't I be allowed to come and worship based on what I have done? The reality is, friend, absolutely not. You and I cannot come before the Lord on anything that we have done on our own. We are only ever able to approach the living God on the merit of Jesus alone and on His righteousness. That's our only way. Yes, many false religions make a pretense at prayer and at praise. Many religious people, they come to offer God what they think is worship to Him, but in reality, what are they doing? Do you know that they're actually offending the Lord? Because unless we come to the God of heaven by the Lord Jesus, we cannot approach to Him. There is no way. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And so that is our only acceptable means, by the only begotten Son. Christ Jesus is that altar that sanctifies both the gift and the giver. And you and I are the ones who come with the gift of praise. And our gift is sanctified through what the Lord Jesus has done for us. So, the Father in heaven is pleased only. My friends, let's not forget this is only pleased when praise is given through His Son, because He abides in the heart and life of the believer. So, my friend, what about you here today? If you don't know Him, if you're not a Christian today, then you cannot come to God. And the only way that you and I can truly be accepted by our Father in heaven is by humbling and confessing our sins before Him today and saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And that we must come by the cross. There is no other way to God. There is no other way that we can approach. We must come through the blood-sprinkled pathway. Have you come to Him this morning? Do you know Him? I was speaking to a man yesterday evening, and the Lord opened up an opportunity to share with him the gospel. And I said to him, "Friend, are you a spiritual man? Do you ever think about the things of God?" And he says to me, yes, I am a spiritual man. He said, "I used to go to church, but I don't go to church anymore." He says, "I believe in God, but I don't believe in churches." I have heard people say this before, and I knew what was coming. He said, "I used to attend church for about 10 years ago." And he said, "The church is so full of hypocrites that I just couldn't take it anymore," and he left. "But I still believe in God, but I don't believe in churches." And so as he was talking on, I said to him, "Well, do you ever think about death? Do you ever think about what's going to happen to you after you die?" I said, have you addressed the fact that you are not ready to meet God?" I said, "Have you been born again?" He said, No, I don't agree with that kind of stuff." He says, "I'm an Anglican upbringing." I said to my friend, "The Lord Jesus said that you must have a personal relationship with Him." And he went on to tell me how that God supplies all his need, and the Lord has never seen him in want, and he's a good man, he does many good things. So immediately what happens in the minds of people, they start off by thinking, "Well, yes, I might not be a church person, but I still have an acknowledgement that there is a God, and I still believe in Him in a kind of a vague sort of way." But then immediately what happens, people begin to justify their own righteousness. But I said, "Well, what about your sin? Where does that leave you before the Lord?" And he did not have an answer. And you see, my friend, today that question is posed to you. What about your sin? If you're not a Christian today, if you're outside of Christ, your sin stands over you. And you cannot be justified by your own good works. It is only by calling out unto Him and say, "Lord, be merciful to me," and confessing your sin to the Savior and calling on Him today. But I move on, thirdly. Not only is this sacrifice through Christ, but it is also something that is to be continual. Look also, please, with me in verse number 16. It says, But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for this, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. In verse 15, first of all, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. This strikes me, because quite frankly, my friends, I find this very hard to do. As I think you, as a Christian, will also find this hard to do. Now, I know, and I can stand here and preach to you and say to you that we are not to be part-time Christians. We are to be full-time Christians, those who are engaged in the worship of the Lord, not just on Sundays, but every day through the week. And perhaps you're thinking in your mind, well, that's an area in my life that I need to have fixed. I need my thinking to be changed a little bit. It's difficult. It's very hard. You know, for the Christian, there should be no division in our minds between what is secular and spiritual. Now, I know that we make these distinctions to define whether someone's employed in a, quote, secular type of work as opposed to someone that's doing ministry type work. But really, the Christian's life is not to be designated like that. There should be no secular and spiritual, because all should be spiritual. We are all now under God. We have been saved by his grace. And the light that shines through us is a light that is to be shining all the time. Full-time workers for the Lord, engaged in his work. We are ambassadors to be continually in the business of serving him. If there's one thing that is easy to say, but not so easy to do, that would be it. It's easy to praise God, isn't it, when the sun is shining? It's easy to praise God when things are going well for us. It's easy to praise and give thanks to the Lord when there's no storm clouds around. It's easy to praise God when the bank account is in the plus side. But what happens when it goes in the red? What happens when you're in overdraft? What then? Can you still praise God? Or do we begin complaining? You know, life causes our circumstances to change, and sometimes it's going to be for the worse. But that is not to change our praise to the Lord. We are to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. An unending chorus of thanksgiving and worship to the God of heaven, who knows the end of all things as they apply to us. The Lord knows, my friend, your state. And he has both planned and he has purposed whatsoever comes to pass in our lives. The hymn writer who wrote this hymn, "God is the treasure of my soul." Listen to what he wrote. "What though no flowers the fig tree clothe, though vines their fruit deny, the labor of the olive fail and fields no meat supply, though from the fold with sad surprise my flock cut off I see, though famine pine in empty stalls where herds were wont to be, yet in the Lord will I be glad, and glory in his love. In him I'll joy, who will the God of my salvation prove." Sometimes the clouds hover over, and sometimes the stall is empty, and sometimes the family is greatly troubled, and sometimes, my dear friends, it seems that all is caving in around us. What do we do then? We come to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. It must be ongoing, because we trust in a God who knows all things. And God is not looking over the walls of heaven, if we could say it like that. And he is not wringing his hands in despair, wondering if all is going to fall apart. God is not surprised or caught off guard by anything. He knows every detail about what's going on. And therefore, let us leave the uncertain things to the Lord and to trust in Him at all times, and let us praise His holy name through good seasons and through hard times. For you know what the Lord's doing? He's molding us. He is shaping us. He is grinding us, that we might be made more and more like unto His only begotten Son. Let us worship and say with Job, "The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." There's one more thing I leave with you this morning, and it is this, that the sacrifice that we are talking about here, it bears fruit. The sacrifice of praise, it bears fruit. You know, when you look at any fruit that comes from a tree, the fruit does not determine what the tree is. The fruit only reveals what the tree is. And so in our lives, when we think about our lips bearing fruit, what is actually happening in reality, but our lips are to bear fruit of what's going on inside our hearts, our lives. If we are truly a child of God, then therefore our lips, what we say and do and sing and worship and praise to the Lord and serve Him, it should reflect what's going on inside the heart. The fruit of our lips, it shows. The fruit is different from our unsaved days, isn't it? You think back, remember what it was like when you did not know the Lord, you weren't following Him. Yes, you weren't forgiven for your sin, and the sin was in your life, but you sometimes, as I, didn't even think about that. We didn't care about it. We didn't care about those sins that affected us, unless it directly affected us to mar our relationship with people, and sometimes then we would turn away from it. But it wasn't because we loved God. But you see, when we have come to know the Lord in our hearts, our fruit then is different. And the fruit of our lips, it is worthy of a God who has saved us. And notice what it involves, this fruit. It is a fruit of giving thanks, of thanksgiving to Him. Let that never be far from our hearts, friend. Even when things are falling out and the bottom of your life seems to be going, let us come and offer thanksgiving to God and count our blessings one by one. Because the devil always wants to distract us away from what God has done to all the negative things that are presently on our minds. But let us not be concentrating on those things so much, but rather to step back and say, "Lord, I'm thankful for what You have given to me. I'm thankful for what we have." And let us praise Him with all of our hearts. This is a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to the Lord. When we come from hearts that have been regenerated and redeemed and our sins are forgiven and we're on the road to glory, and we praise Him for that. Let us thank the Lord for His hand upon us. And also it talks here about doing good in verse 16. But to do good. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Yes, the Christian life is to be filled with good works. It's to be filled with alms deeds. It's to be filled with doing things that are going to assist and aid and benefit other people. That is the life of the child of God. That's what God has commanded us clearly. And you could not get anything more clear than in this conclusion of the book of Hebrews, when the Lord is saying, "Look, this is how it all comes together. This is the final picture of it all. This is what your life is going to look like as a Christian. You're going to be filled with good works." Now, you and I know that we are not saved by our good works. No man can be justified by what we do. But I will tell you that the good works will follow after. And the good works that we are able to do to the Lord and for Him will be an evidence of what has changed inside us. It does not change us, but it is the fruit that gives evidence that we have been changed. And the Lord calls us that we are to serve Him with good and practical and real Christian ways? Do you look out for good works that you can do? Do I look out for ways in which I can improve and help and benefit others around me? Or is it fact sometimes that we're so concentrated on ourselves and our own life and our own goals and our own checklist of things we have to do that we're so tunnel vision we can't see outside of that? Maybe we need to step back a little bit and ask the question, Lord, how can I improve the well-being of others around me? How can I be a benefit and a blessing to them? Because this is what is part of this, doing good. These are the sacrifices well-pleasing to God. That's what he's saying here so clear in his word. Not only are we talking here about thanksgiving and doing good, but there's a word that says communicate. You would not maybe know exactly what that means because the Greek word is the word koinonia. It's a word that means fellowship. It's translated a few different ways in the New Testament. One, it's translated contribution. Fellowship is translated 12 times. It's translated giving once. So the idea behind this of communicate, it's not just with your mouth communicating. That's not what it is. Now, we look upon that word today as meaning just speaking. But the word here that we're commanded to communicate, to do good, it's a word that means we are to contribute, but to give ourselves in fellowship. Fellowship in the body of Christ. The fellowship that means that we are not detached, but that we are united. And we have to work on that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in every Christian gathering, in every gathering of people. Why? Because we're all just sinners saved by God's grace. We're all just sinners that are brought together under one roof. And there are going to be problems. There are going to be differences of personality, differences of goal, of vision, of heart. There are going to be differences, but the Lord calls us to communicate, to fellowship one with another, and to cultivate that fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more that you and I are cultivating that fellowship, we are fulfilling and serving and pleasing God in doing that. And yes, it means part of the fellowship of the entire body, doesn't it? So what do? We contribute to the work of God because that will forward the fellowship and promote God's work and see it given out in other places. The Lord is calling us, my dear friends, and we will say with the psalmist, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I want to praise Him with all my soul. I want to praise the Lord with my heart, in my song, in my prayer, in my thanksgiving, in my communication one to another. By the good works that I do, I want to praise God in these things. And dear believer and child of God, I know that's in your heart as well. And by the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in us, we will be enabled to do this because all of these things are working forward to glorifying our Savior. They're all working in our life that we are made more like Him because that's the end goal that God has for us. He wants us to be like His Son in order that we will glorify and magnify His name. I pray that will be the case for you here today. And friend, if you're not a Christian, if you don't know the Lord, I encourage you to seek Him now, right where you are seated, and you can pray, Lord, please help me to understand. Oh, God, help me to see clearly what this means and to seek forgiveness and repentance from your own sin. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Lord, as we are just quiet now in the closing part of our meeting, we pray that the word of Scripture would be written on every heart, and that no one would misunderstand. Lord, take away the uncertainty. Give to us, we pray, joy in our service and our praise and thanksgiving and worship. Teach us, Lord, what that means. And as we come now shortly around the communion table, we might continue in that worship of praise to thy holy name. Lord, save any souls who are here in this service or watching online who do not know the Lord Jesus. Bring them to the foot of the cross whereby they can know him as their own Savior and Lord. Be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We're going to close by singing hymn number 9. Hymn number 9. If you're not able to stay with us now for communion, then please feel free to leave after the singing of the first verse, and we will stand to sing.